Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the blessings of life you bestow upon us so richly and abundantly. Lord, we're so thankful just the ability to gather together to worship, sing praises to your name. And Lord, I pray that our hearts will not just be reflecting upon the birth of our Savior and the life of our Savior and the death, burial and resurrection, just this time of the year, but Lord, that we will be celebrating this each day of our lives. Lord, it's our only hope, and it's, Lord, of our only foundation that we can truly trust in. And so, Lord, I pray that our minds will be in tune with yours. Lord, I pray you'll be glorified, not only this time of the year, but, Lord, each day of our lives. Lord, I pray for the ones who are unable to be here. Lord, I pray you'll comfort the ones who are grieving. Lord, I pray that they'll understand as they look into your perfect word and reflect upon who you are, Lord, know that you have not left them nor forsaken them. For many people are sad. Many people are lonely. But Lord, I pray that you'll comfort them with comfort from above. And Lord, I pray that they'll have peace knowing that you're present with them. And so, Lord, I just pray for your hand of gentleness to be upon them. Lord, be with the ones who are wayward. I pray that you'll direct them back to you and, Lord, that bring them back to a path of obedience where they can experience the blessing and the righteousness and peace and joy. Lord, I pray that you'll be glorified now in our midst as we study your word in these next few moments, for we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Galatians is one of those books that I really like reading. It's a short book, and it's one that the Apostle Paul, when he wrote it, he was very quick and he was very passionate about it. He said, "You foolish Galatians," and he kind of didn't handle them with kids' gloves, but he deals with some truth here that this evening we're going to spend just a few moments in Galatians chapter 4 as we read this, and I'm going to focus in on a few passages I think that we need to reflect upon the Lord has laid upon my heart. Let's look in chapter 4 of Galatians, verse 4. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because we are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." What I'm going to look at, I want us to focus on, is this passage, "But in the fullness of time." We're going to focus on a few, but the first one we're going to look at, "But when the fullness of time was come." We are so conscious about time. We're so conscious about the timing, marking of calendars, and trying to coordinate calendars and all that. And especially this time of the year, we are also consumed about, we're running out of time. We think that we're running out of time. Well, you're not running out of time. There's always been the same amount of time in every given day. It's sometimes how we use our time. But God exists outside of time, but He's very conscious of time. And I want to also talk about one aspect of God. I don't want you to get this aspect that God wound up time like a clock and He steps back and He doesn't mess with things. He didn't set the created order in the universe. He spoke into existence and then just left it to run itself like a piece of clockwork, natural laws that just take effect. No, He's involved in time that He was observing in the fullness of time. And what I want you to do is reflect back in the Old Testament and think about times where God allowed things to happen, and you think, well, why did it take so long? And one of the most things we think of, matter of fact, our Ten Commandments, if you look at them, reading the Old Testament, we read the Ten Commandments, we're not going to go there, but who was He talking to? Children of Israel. What had He told them when He gave them those commandments, but He linked it back to a remembering of a time? What time was that spent? Where did they spend 400 plus years in? In Egyptian bondage. And think about that generation. You were there in the first years of the Egyptian bondage, having to make those bricks and mortar and all that out of straw. And you're crying out to God. You're crying out to God. And guess what? You have children. And there's no deliverance. And your children have children. There's none. And then generation after generation after generation, it goes on. But did God forget His people? What had happened in the fullness of time back then? Brother Billy talked about a deliverer. God raised up the deliverer. Who was that deliverer? And He worked through him. And He brought him forth. And He saved him. And they told him to recount these things. And even today, faithful Jews, they look back on the law. They look back at that time. They see God preserved His people in the fullness of time. Okay? Any other times you think about where in the Old Testament, anybody, an Old Testament thing where you think that the people were so discouraged, it could be an individual or the nation as a whole, And there's many places we can go, but the people cried out to God, and in the fullness of time, in the right timing, a lot of people thought it was too late, but in God's perfect timing, He delivered them. What are some other occasions?
Nehemiah.
Jonah. Yeah. Who else? Nehemiah, Jonah. We can count many, many, many different times.
Abraham and Sarah.
Y'all know the story? How long? How old? What did Sarah do? Well, she was told about the promise. Listen, when God makes a promise and the promise is delayed on our framework, does it mean the promise is not kept? I want to get that in our minds and our frame of reference as we think about it. Sometimes when God makes a promise, or all the time when God makes a promise, it is kept to the letter. Now, from human perspective and where we stand, we may not see it. We may not understand it. I didn't ask Bethany to pick out some of the songs. I'm like, why are we singing Father Along? Because, listen, I was at a funeral this past week, and that's one of the songs we were singing, and that's, we tend to think of that. But really, it relates really very well to it. Sometimes we don't understand it. But God has not forsaken His people in the Old Testament, in between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and in the New Testament, in the church age, God has not forgotten His people. And in the fullness of time, all throughout the Old Testament, He was faithful. If He promised it, He kept it. And there's many, 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 many occasions. But we get blinded. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and all the things that blind us, we can't see clearly that God is faithful to His promise. Okay, this time of writing, Brother Billy preached, you've heard messages from Luke, you've heard messages from Matthew, and wonderful messages. We're talking about the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the cross. See, during that time, there was 400 years roughly where there was no prophet. If you look in your Bible between Malachi and Matthew, there's nothing. It's 400 years of silent years. There was no prophets in Israel. Many people were waiting on it, and people were anticipating. We see in the temple. There were some who knew about it. They knew that the promise would be fulfilled. But in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. I want you to just think about that. 400 years. Our nation's not, you know, our nation is a young nation. 400 years, though, we think is a long time. But when we think about in God, it's when the fullness of time come. I don't know what He was waiting on. In His perfect mind, there were some ways we look politically. Scholars look back and say, oh, it's because of the Pax Romana, the Roman peace that was there, because of the roadways, because of language developments. They look back and say, it was just a perfect time for all kind of things, the neat things to happen. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's true, because God has not ignored culture. He shapes and He molds and He fixes, and He is involved. But it was basically in the fullness of, it was based on His watch and His time. But in the fullness of time, He came. He sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Realizing that Jesus was human, He was not just deity, but He was the Son of God, but we also read that He's the Son of Man. And it's a mystery. I can't get my mind around and try to reconcile it all, but there was something unique about the birth of Jesus. Very unique, very different. He was not only God, He couldn't redeem us, and if He was only a man, He surely couldn't redeem us. We see in the whole book of Hebrews, it's not the blood of bulls and goats that people are redeemed, children of God are redeemed by, it's through the blood of Christ. And so there's something unique. We don't know exactly when He was born. We don't think it's December the 25th, but we do celebrate this time, this birth, but His birth would be irrelevant if it wasn't for the cross. And so, as I tell a lot of people, over the manger scene, a shadow of the cross appeared. See, He was born to die to reconcile. He came to do the Father's will, and God sent Him to do the will. He did it perfectly. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Let's turn over real quick and spend a few moments in Romans 8. We could probably spend an hour in Romans verifying some of this stuff, but I'm not going to do that. But Romans 8, because I was reading some passages and it's like, it makes you want to go to another passage. Let's back up and let's read a few of these verses. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for them that which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And let's go down to verse 14 of chapter 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You can turn back over to Galatians now. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. There's no one in our immediate family who's ever adopted anyone. But yesterday, Cheryl, Bethany and I had the opportunity to take a little Christmas card to a family. You know, may not know the family, but it's a family, the young couple. But we used to attend church with them. That young couple used to work with a lot of the children in the church and minister to them. Well, there was two young children who were foster kids in our church. These foster kids were rough around the edges, but they had spent their whole time in foster care. Since a little bitty baby. It was a brother and a sister. They were cute, but you could tell they had a lot of problems because of no stability. No one that they could call mom and dad who really cared for them. This young couple, though, through circumstances, their hearts started moving to put a desire to adopt. And there's people, listen, there's people, Christian people, who are saying, you should just have your own children. You shouldn't adopt. You shouldn't adopt these. You're young. You can have these own your own children. You shouldn't adopt these. Let someone else do it. Because, see, it's going to be hard because they have a lot of problems. And there were some problems. But God worked in their hearts, moved, had compassion. They went through the process, a long process, very frustrating process, with many tears, many prayers. But in the end, analysis is they're adopted. And this is their first Christmas that's there with a mom and a dad. And God has truly blessed them. And what's so neat about it, what is so, you wouldn't believe it, but if you were to see a picture of them, they sent us a Christmas card, if you were to see a picture, the little boy looks like the father, the little girl looks like the mother. They have their names. No one, very few people didn't know them. If you met them on the street, you would not know that those children are adopted. And so it's truly been a blessing to see how God has worked in that aspect of adoption. And having people who have been adopted before and talking and seeing their hearts really are grateful to that parent, because sometimes we have children, we love our children and all that, but I've heard this saying between a parent who had a natural born son and an adopted son said, well, listen, I had no choice in you, but see, I chose you. Telling the adopted son, listen, yeah, you're not my natural son, but I chose you. And so there's a great love there to see that moving, to see the aspect of the choice there of adoption. And I think it's a great thing, and this family is truly blessed. Okay, but we think sometimes, well, okay, that's going to motivate me to be that adoptive parent. You know, that's what Brother John is saying, that I should go out in there and adopt children. Well, if the Lord leads you to that and be open to that, if He places it, and, you know, that's between you and God as you wrestle with those things, and it's not an easy process, it's a lot of heart-wrenching. But listen, I'm not saying that we are the ones who are doing the adopting. I want us to realize that we are more like those two children. We're the ones who are in desperate need of adoption. See, we were without hope. We were aliens. We were separated from the love of God. We had no hope. We were dogs. Had it not been for Christ, we would be separated from God. We would be illegitimate children. We would have no one to call father, no one to call mother. We would be separated. And sometimes we don't remember that. We're not grateful enough. We don't realize that we have been adopted by God. And we are a son. And we have the position in Christ to be the sons of God. And so that is what I want you to realize. The adoption is that we need to express thanksgiving to God. And sometimes we see that in the adoption of children, you know, our hearts can get moved and stirred, but realize that, listen, we are adopted children if we're in Christ Jesus. And if Christ Jesus, if He's our Savior and Lord and Master, We are His children. We are His children. And as loving children, He will discipline us and He will let us go. And how many of us, sometimes I can remember how, and some people say I'm still that way, but how haughty and arrogant I was when I was a teenager, thinking I knew everything, and how ungrateful I was to my parents. And my heart gets pricked, and I'm like, you know, I should have been more grateful to my natural parents. The same way, our Heavenly Father. God sent His Son to redeem us, to purchase us. And it wasn't any something cheap. It wasn't like, I want these things and it's going to cost just a little bit. No, it cost His life on the cross of Calvary. And so it's not something that's trivial. It's not something that we just have to just get warm fuzzies over. It's something we need to think about and be thankful for as we reflect upon it, meditate upon it. Be encouraging to read the Passion Week, the week of leading up to the cross. Many times, I like hearing Luke. I like hearing Matthew too. I like hearing the birth of the story. But we got to keep in our minds also the road to Calvary and the cross. But the story doesn't stop there because of the resurrection. And that He has redeemed and He has fulfilled everything that He said He would do. See, in the fullness of time is now. He's not left us without hope. He's present with us. God with us, Christ with us, the hope of glory. He's present. And He will be with us. In the fullness of time, He will come. I don't know when or how. It may be another 1,000 years. But He knows. And that is great joy. How many times are you traveling down the road? How long is it going to be there? How long is it going to be there? If you're a dad, you've heard that. And my dad, I used to say that too. Are we about there? And he'd always say, we'll be there when we get there. And so, same way, that absolute trust in God the Father will be there when we get there in the fullness of time. He came, was born a virgin birth, He lived a sinless life, He went to the cross of Calvary for my sin, He adopted me as a son, and because we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. It's not a rigid, hierarchical religion that I got to go to a priest to make intercession for me and go and say, Father, I have sinned. Going to another man and saying, Father, I have sinned. No. We can cry out, Abba, Father. Intimate. We have a God the Father. Wherefore, verse 7, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. My four children may not receive much physical inheritance from me, but our Heavenly Father has given us a rich inheritance to be enjoyed, a down payment now that we can enjoy now. There's great glories in the future. When we die, the Lord takes us home whenever our time is, in the fullness of time of our own life, when we breathe our last breath. For the Christian, there's great joy and peace. But also, now there's a down payment. So this Christmas season, we celebrate the birth of Christ. Remember, it's the fullness of time that He came. He redeemed us. We are adopted as sons and daughters of the King. We are not servants in a sense of being, we're still to serve God and be His master, but I'm saying we don't have the status of a servant. We're not a slave. We're not a slave to the world, to the world's systems and ways. We are His Son, and He has placed us in a position of privilege. With privilege comes responsibilities. But reflect upon that. Think about that this Christmas. As you're with your families, as you're praying, thanking Him that you are His Son, you are His daughter. And give Him praise and honor and glory. Because truly, if we were not adopted, there would be no hope of reconciliation. No matter how hard we try to reach up to God, no matter what we do, without Christ, we will be separated from the love of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray that you would accomplish in it what you will. We ask in Christ's name.